Mark chapter 14, it's been said already in the service this morning. One of the sisters said it. Seems like this weekend meeting up to this point is God has been reminding us that He wants to help us. And He's been stretching down His hand to help us. Man, I'm telling you, there was some genuine tears shed in these altars last night. No doubt in my mind, some of these folks that was up here digging, praying, crying, very sincere. And God will meet with you if you get sincere. Don't you believe that? And no doubt the Lord has helped us up to this point. But I don't want to throw you off here. I'd like to take a sharp right-hand turn. We've talked about a whole lot about what can God do for us. How can God help us? How can we be blessed? How can we get a miracle? I'd like us to consider the other side of that together for a little while this morning. What can we do for Him? How can we bless Him? Amen. With that in mind, would you stand with me? Book of Mark chapter 14, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Mark chapter 14 and verse 1, very familiar territory. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on His head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Man, what a story. You know where I want to focus your attention probably already. Verse 8, the words that Christ said to the bystanders that was murmuring about her sacrifice, about her service, about her surrender. He said, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Man, what a commendation from the lips of the Master. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear Him say that about your work, about your service, about your labor? He's done what He could. She's done what she could. Praise God. We're going to pray. Would you lift your hands and help me pray for this service? Father, we love You. Thank You for Your great mercy and love. Thank You for Your long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Help us now as Your children. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. A heart to hide Your word in, God, that we might not sin against You. Move among us. Meet with us in these altars, we pray, in Jesus' name. The church said amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them, I want to do what I can. I want to do what I can. Praise the Lord. Praise God. She hath done what she could. Man. I mentioned last night, I just turned 42, and I know some of y'all laugh at me. I ain't going to talk about getting older. I done been put in my place. I've said that 2 or 3 times. I'm getting tired of being scolded over that. But I am getting aches in places I never had them before, and pains, you know, and this middle-age spread's catching up with me. Hallelujah. Now, but the most important thing I begin to realize, the longer that I've lived, the more I begin to see and understand just how short life is. You know, the Bible gives us a general promise of about 70. If we live to be 70 years old, I've already lived half my life. If I make it to be 80, I've already lived half my life. Half of my life, if I make it that far, is already gone. And I begin to look back and say, where in the world is all that time gone? Where is all that life that I've done lived? Where has it got to? James said it like this in James chapter 1 and verse 14. He said, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Amen. Like a stove, like a pot simmering on the stove, steam rising out of that pot. James looked at that steam and said, that's what your life's like. It's here for just a moment and then it vanishes away. And the older I get, the more I begin to realize it. Life really is short. That's why I've got to preach to us here this morning. It's so important how we live our life, what we spend our days trying to accomplish in this life. I don't want to just go through life trying to scratch out and dig out and claw out something for me. I don't want to live my life with selfish motives, selfish goals, or a selfish ambition. I want to live my life for Him. How about you? I want to live a life that pleases Him. Amen. When I was thinking about this, and I'll just tell you, God was dealing with me about this, and I began to pin some things down, and I was doing a little study and reading through some books. I found a poem. Usually I'm not a poem feller, so you'll just have to bear with me here. I found a poem written by C.T. Studd. When I began to read through this poem, man, it made a lot of sense. You've probably heard it before. Some of you probably have. And what impressed me the most is when I began to do a little studying about C.T. Studd. He was a preacher of yesteryear, you know, days gone by, born into a very wealthy family, if I got it right. And to preach the gospel, to feel like he was pleasing God, when it came his time to inherit all of that wealth, you know what he done? He gave it all away. He didn't want it to hinder him. He didn't want to feel like it was a weight that would stop him from accomplishing the will of God. He wrote this poem down. I want to take my time and read it to you. Then I'll go and try to preach. Listen to what he said. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice. Bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. I read that and I got to looking back over my service in the kingdom of God for the past 19 years, and I had to ask myself the question, am I doing what I can? Have I really sacrificed? Have I really served? Have I really surrendered all that I am or ever shall be to the hand of God, I must spend my days striving to please the one who rescued me from the power of sin. Can you say amen? I've got to spend this life, this fleeting moment in time, I've got to put forth all of my energy, amen, do my very best to praise Him, to worship Him, and to bring Him glory upon His throne. This Bible said in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Come on, say amen. I don't want to spend my time looking for a permissive will. I don't want to spend my time looking for an acceptable will. I want to spend my time striving to live in His perfect will. Can you say amen to me, somebody? I wanted us to take just a few moments together this morning and look at the woman in our scripture text. And if God will help me, I wanted us to focus on three areas where she did what she could. Number one, I wanted us to take enough time to talk about her sacrifice. And then I wanted us to look at her service. And then finally, we'll try to preach a little bit about her surrender. If we take the scripture in its context, you'll remember Jesus was on His way toward Calvary. In the beginning of chapter 14, they're trying to figure out a way that they might lay hold of Him and put Him to death. Amen. He's on His way to Calvary. That's where He's headed to bleed and die for the sins of humanity. When He encounters a woman who expresses the depths of her love and devotion to Him and His divine will, her love offering, though misunderstood by others, was commended by the Master. Hallelujah. In fact, those who stood around her when she made this costly sacrifice to the King, they murmured and they complained and they tried to figure out a better use of the money. And they said, what a waste. Why was this waste made? Hey, but Jesus looked at those that condemned her and said, she's done all that she could do to bring me glory and honor. As a matter of fact, He said, the sacrifice that she's made today will be rehearsed and remembered forever. Everywhere the gospel is preached, there'll be a preacher rehearsing in the ears of a congregation what this woman has done to me today. Amen. When I begin to look at the passage, I begin to consider the thought, she hath done what she could. Amen. God put His big finger on my heart, and I begin to ask myself, have I ever really sacrificed to please Him? In all of my trying to live for Him, has there ever been a time in my life when I really put forth an effort and made a sacrifice that was pleasing to Him? Come on now. I tell you, lots of people in our holiness movement, they talk about giving up this and giving up that and quitting this and not doing that. I tell you, folks, I was way below the bottom when He found me, 23 years old, before I ever got saved. Now, I'll just tell you how I feel about it. I don't feel like I give up anything. Amen. After the way He's blessed me, after the way He's helped me, after the way He's met my need, I hadn't had to give up nothing. Come on now. Nothing have I sacrificed in that area or that way. I ask myself, have I ever really made a sacrifice? You know what? It's going to be quiet this morning, but I knew it was going to be quiet before I ever got here because I feel like God's wanting to talk to us. I'm living in the generation who don't hear very much at all about making sacrifice to God. We hear a lot about what can God do for us? How can God help me? How can God bless me? But the happiest people that I've ever met, the most contented Christians that I've ever come in contact with, they're not the folks with big bank accounts. They're not the ones trading for a new Escalade every 2 or 3 years. The most contented people I know are people who are sacrificing all they are or ever shall be to work and labor in the kingdom of God. Come on and say amen to me right here, somebody. I'm telling you, if we're going to please Him, my generation has to get to the place where they know about sacrifice. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I want to tell you something. All of this prosperity we've had in America, it's about to come to an end. A screeching halt. Come on now. I'm preaching to my generation now. We don't know about sacrifice. I'll tell you about my generation. My generation is the buy it now, pay for it later bunch. That's right. I know people, I've done told you, I'm 42. I know people my age and younger, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in credit card debt with nothing to show for it. Come on, don't everybody shout at once here. I'm trying to preach to you. You know it's the truth. Because somebody else bought a four-wheeler, they go get one on the credit card. Come on now. We don't know about doing with that. Because everybody else going to Pizza Hut, we're going to go charge it on MasterCard so we can go too. Come on now. Whatever happened if you didn't have the money, go to the house. Come on here. Hey, don't get it if you can't afford it. Come on now. And a lot of our preachers, this is a side note. This ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking to you about. But a lot of our preachers have begun to put their seal of approval on people filing bankruptcy. Come on now. You can never convince me anywhere from this book that's the perfect will of God for His children. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. And if you sign the line, you got to pay for it. Come on now. You got to pay for it. If you make the agreement to do it, it might be $10 a month for the rest of your life, but you better put forth the best effort you can. Come on, say amen. She broke a box of ointment and poured it on Jesus' head. What a sacrifice. The Bible said it was valued at more than 300 pence. In Jesus' day, 1 pence was a day's wage. If that woman in our generation would have been in our generation, if she was making $1,000 a day, or $50 a day, her offering was a $15,000 offering. Amen. 300 pence. If that woman was making $100 a day, she broke the box and poured the ointment on the head of the master at a cost of $30,000. Come on, say amen. Her offering was a sacrifice. Did you know Spikenard did not come from Israel? It didn't come from Judah. Spikenard came in caravans from India. That made it very, very expensive. Many in Jesus' generation saved their whole life to be able to afford to buy that box of spikenard to anoint their own body at the burial. Come on now. Her sacrifice was real and it cost her something. Come on. Isn't it amazing? My generation will give the waitress a better tip at the Western Sizzlin' than they put in the offering plate at the house of God. When it comes around, come on here. I'm preaching doing what you can. I'd like to get to the place, amen, where I know about sacrifice to please God. This woman broke the vessel. And I read several different commentaries. None of them seemed to come to an agreement. I just got to preach to you what I felt like God put in my heart. One man said the box was perfectly sealed on all sides. Only way to get to the ointment inside was break the box. Another two or three disagreed with that. So I was left confused. I got to praying about this and I remembered what the Bible said about Christ being the rock. It talked about us falling on the rock. It said if we fall on the rock, we shall be broken to pieces. But if we wait for the rock to fall on us, we shall be ground to powder. Come on, say amen to me. Anybody ever read that? It's in there. I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost ministered to my heart. I want to fall on this rock. Amen. That my life can be broken to pieces on Him. Amen. That everything in me that I can offer by way of service and sacrifice and surrender can be used to His glory, can be used to His honor. I want to get to the place where I can be a broken vessel in His hand. Amen. I believe she broke it to get every drop of ointment in that box out. She didn't want to hold anything back for herself. She wanted to give it all to Jesus. Every drop of it. Amen. Sacrifice. That's not a popular doctrine to talk about in this generation. Hey, our generation is the kind of generation our children whine and murmur and complain if they don't get the right cell phone at 12 years old. Come on now. I can remember when there was no cell phones. And I remember when Daddy brought the first microwave to the house. We watched it like a television. We'd put cups of water in there, time it, see how long it'd take it to start boiling. That's right. I remember when our phone line was a party line. Come on, say amen. Annie Mae Coltrane lived behind us, and boy, she liked to talk on the telephone. We had to share the line with you. Some of y'all laughing, y'all remember that, but I'll tell you something. God has blessed this generation. There's people right here in this service this morning. Hang on to your seat, young people. There's old folks, right? Older people, mature people right here this morning who was raised in a house with no running water. If they went to the bathroom, they had to walk the path to the backyard. Come on, say amen. Man, are you going to help me? God has blessed us. God has helped us. But we must not take His blessings for granted. For the Bible said, where there's much given, there shall be much also required. Come on. He's going to require a lot in our hand because He's entrusted us with what we have. And instead of squandering it away on bass boats and hunting blinds, high-powered rifles, come on. Vacations to Hawaii, cruise ships to the Caribbean. Instead of digging swimming pools in the backyard, why don't we give it to the kingdom of God? Amen. Why don't we offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord? Hallelujah. Well, I can tell that didn't make some of you jumping happy. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Have you ever really sacrificed anything for God? You ever really sacrificed? I was digging in this and I found a story about a Christian businessman from America traveling in Korea on a business trip. Riding down the road through the countryside, he saw several yokes of oxen out plowing in this great big field. People plowing their part of the field. And while he's riding along by that field, he noticed a young man hooked to a plow and an old man holding the handles of that plow. That boy was pulling the plow. And it amused him. That's what the story said. He threw his camera up in a hurry and he got a snapshot of it. He looked over at his interpreter, which just happened to be a missionary in Korea. He said, I suppose these people are very poor. That's what he said to his interpreter, the missionary. I guess these are the poor people. They don't have an ox, they're pulling the plow themselves. And the interpreter replied, yeah, they're poor. As a matter of fact, I know those men. Those men happen to be Christians. And the interpreter began to tell the businessman the story. He said, a couple of years ago when their church was being built, they were eager to give something toward the building project. But they didn't have anything of any value. Didn't have no money, nothing worth anything. Except that ox that pulled the plow. So they come together with a desire to be a blessing to the church. They made the decision among themselves, we're going to sell the ox, give the money to the church. And that's what they both done. And the missionary said to the businessman from America, and this spring, they're pulling the plow themselves. And that smote my heart when I read that. And I prayed for days, oh God, have I ever pulled the plow myself? Have I ever made the sacrifice? You see, Brother Yeoman even said something about it before I got up this morning. I'll just tell you how it is with me and probably most everybody that works in the kingdom of God. I'll tell you how it feels that folks get to talking about the great sacrifice that you make and all this that you've given up. I'll tell you, listen, there's been times I felt embarrassed. God has blessed me so good and helped me so good, and I know me. I don't deserve what God's given me. Come on, are you going to help me right here? Anybody else ever felt that way? Hey, listen, folks get to talking about all that you've given up, all you don't do. Listen, I know we've got to abide in our callings, and God has called us to a specific place to do a specific task in His kingdom. But listen, I don't feel like it's much of a sacrifice for me to take your money and to fly to Africa to preach the gospel. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, them men way back yonder that had to sail for months on a sailing ship, amen, had to get over there and fight like malaria and dengue fever and all that, them's the ones that made the sacrifice. Now, I get on a 777 and fly in the air condition all the way over. Come on, say amen. And all the way back. And listen, there are places that I've been. Some of you probably wouldn't want to go. Things that I've ate. Some of you probably wouldn't want to eat. But I've not thought of it as a sacrifice at all. Come on and help me right here. I'm telling you, when that missionary told that American businessman this spring, they're pulling the plow themselves. The story said that businessman from America sat silent for a moment. Then he looked up at his interpreter and said, "This must have been a real sacrifice for them to make." And the missionary said, "Yes, it was, but they didn't call it that." Amen. They thought themselves fortunate that they had an ox to sell and money to give. Come on, say amen. Ain't that the way it ought to be? I said, ain't that the way it ought to be? We're coming to a time in America when we're getting ready to find out who's been serving Him because they have to, who's followed Him for the fishes and the loaves, and who's serving Him because they want to. Come on now. I'm telling you, all of our trinkets and all of our toys, all of our extras and all of our excess is getting ready to fall by the wayside. Amen. You're going to see a church stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost because He has the preeminence in their life. They've made Jesus number one, and He will pour the Spirit of God down on that people. Hallelujah. We'll be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. One more time. I'd like to see it, wouldn't you? I'd like to see it. I'm preaching doing what you can. Amen. Maybe some in the room that day thought, what a sacrifice it is for her to do that. Some even said, what a waste. Why was this waste made? I want to preach to somebody here in this fellowship this morning. If you make up your mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. Don't expect to be the most popular person in your family. Don't expect everybody in your church to agree with what God lays on your heart to sacrifice to Him. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, when I first got the call to preach, we made the announcement, God dealing with us, we're going to go full time into the ministry. Our family called us gypsies. They called us vagabonds. Come on now. I got a boy 16 and 19 now. One's up in Pennsylvania at Bible school. You know what they told me when they was just babies and we started traveling? Listen, here's what they told me. You're not going to be able to raise them children that way. They're going to be warped. They got to be in society. You can't take them out of the public school. They won't be able to function. You can't take the television away from them children. They won't know how to act when they get grown. Come on. That's a hogwash the devil feeds a child of God. I'm telling you, Mama told me years ago when I first got saved, first started making some changes. You know what some of them said? Some of them said this. My mother was one of them. She said, "I know you're all excited now, and I know how you're feeling, but that'll wear off after a while, and your feet will come back to the ground." I tell you, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The more I know Him, the more I want to know Him. The more I feel Him touch me, the more of His touch I want to feel. Can you shout amen? Part of our service, our Christian heritage, involves sacrifice. I'll tell you why there's a campground right here in this part of Georgia. Somebody sacrificed. Tell you why there's a beautiful building, nice places to sleep. Somebody sacrificed. Somebody did what they could. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we're going to raise up a generation of children that don't know what sacrifice even means. It wasn't a hardship in the heart of the woman that broke the box and offered the ointment. And it won't be a hardship for us when we really pray through and get where we need to be with God. I've already told you the most contented people I know are Bible people, holiness people. self-sacrifice and surrendered people, Christian folks, come on now, who practice Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's King James language in Georgia. He said, I'm begging you, brothers. I'm begging you, brethren. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Come on now. I'm telling you, it's our reasonable service to sacrifice ourselves for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul said it something like this. He said, I would gladly spend and be spent for the gospel's sake. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, we've got to get to that same place where we're willing to do what we can. Second, I wanted us not only to look at her sacrifice, but let's look at her service. Look at the depth of the woman's service to the Lord. Jesus simply said she had done what she could. She has done everything within her power to bless me. This term, what she could, referred to all she possessed. She's given me all. Man, what service to God. There was many things that the woman could not do, but she did what she could. And it got her a commendation from the Lord. I have met folks in the church who are so hung up on what they can't do that they just refuse to do anything at all. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't take up the offering. Somebody got to vacuum the floor. Somebody got to clean the toilets. Somebody got to keep the grass mowed. Everybody can't go to Africa. Somebody just got to lay chick tracks on the back of the toilet at the Walmart. Come on now. I have met people in the church because, now don't you fall out with me, because of bad decisions before salvation. They're disqualified to hold certain positions in the church. Y'all understand? They cannot occupy certain offices in the church. And I've seen them pout for years. Instead of concentrating on doing what they can, they always want to do something they can't do. This woman wasn't like that. It didn't matter to her what Peter was doing, or James, or John, or Matthew. She just come in with her little box and did what she could. Come on, say amen. Doing what you can. That's what I'm talking about. Her service was real. Have you ever read in the Bible where the Bible said, whatever your hands finds to do, do it with all your heart or with all your might? Come on, say amen. Doing what you can. That's what I'm talking to us about. Service in the kingdom of God. I'll never forget. I got saved in the church of God. And there's a lot of things the church of God taught me that I'm glad of. They gave me a solid foundation. I've gone to so many places and meet holiness people that just have a herd mentality. They're just doing it because grandma done it. They're doing it because that's what grandpa said. I'm not against tradition. Listen, Paul said to hold fast to the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And I'm not against that, but I feel like you need to pray through and get to a place whether you know what you're doing, why you're doing it. You got to do it because of a love in your heart. You can't just put on the uniform and go to the battlefield and fight in the army. You got to be made a soldier first. Come on, say amen. And the uniform ain't what makes you. Come on. You got to become a soldier in your heart. The same works with serving in the kingdom of God. We're talking about service now and doing what you can. It's got to issue forth from a heart that loves Him more than anything else. If you'd rather fish on Saturday than pray. Now I know when we get to talking about service, we got time to do everything else. Isn't it amazing how some of you can surf the internet 3 hours at a time? But you can't pray for 15 minutes because you just don't have time. Just don't know what to say. Y'all ain't helping me too heavy here this morning. Isn't it amazing how we got time to do everything else? But what God wants us to do, practice Christian discipline in our life and serve Him to the best of our ability. Doing what you can, giving Him everything we have. Is anybody in this building that can say you've done it? Amen. I'd like to have a kind of service to God that'll help me not to be ashamed before Him at His coming. I want to serve Him in such a way that I can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Come on now. I'd like to serve Him in such a way to where He'll be pleased with what I'm doing in my life. Come on here and help me. Hey, many say, "I believe, I believe, I believe." But does your believing compel you to serve? Does your believing push you to service in the kingdom of God? Come on now. Amen. I want to have the kind of service that'll give me confidence to stand before Him someday and know that He is pleased with the way that I have lived my life. That sounds crazy to some folks, but I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul said. When dying time was looming just before him, the death angel had already been summoned to where Paul was. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Come on now. Did you hear what he said? Three things. He said, "I have fought. I have finished. I have kept." Hallelujah. In other words, I've served Him to the best of my ability. There's no skeletons in my closet. I'm not living in shadows of gray. Amen. For me, it's been black or white. It's been on or off. The black preacher said, "Either you is or either you ain't." Come on now. I'm telling you, that's the way it is in service in the kingdom of God. You can't just serve Him on Sunday long enough to soothe your conscience and live for the flesh, the devil, and the world on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Come on. You got to serve Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He has to be the most important person in your life. Service. Some of them things that Church of God taught me. One of them was, God has not called us as ministers to be lords over God's inheritance. Well, I figured at least one deacon would say amen. He ain't called the deacons to be lords over God's inheritance either. I was hoping at least one pastor would say amen. Y'all just going to leave me out here by myself this morning, ain't you? They had a service. My local church in the Church of God, I'll just tell you how they do it. Before I could just go out and start preaching, my local church had to put their seal of approval on my calling and my life. If my local church wouldn't have set me forth, that's what they call it. It wasn't an ordination service. They was just setting me forth into the ministry, sending me out into the ministry, like in the book of Acts when they laid hands on them and prayed over them and sent them out. And my pastor made a little ceremony service out of it. And he preached on service, being a servant. You know, that's what God's called every one of us to be. A servant. Come on, say amen. That Church of God pastor that I had, he preached a wonderful message on being a servant, being called to serve. And I'll never forget, he pulled out a folding chair and set me in front of that congregation. And he got a tub out from behind the pulpit like you wash feet in. And he come around that Bible stand in front of me. And he rolled his shirt sleeve up a round or two. And he got down on his knees like he was going to wash my feet with that basin. He didn't wash my feet there in front of everybody. Here's what he said. I'll never forget, tears dripping off his jaw, weeping. Had a big white towel threw over his shoulder. And he said, "Brother Teague, no matter where you go, no matter what kind of people God puts you in front of to preach to, don't ever forget God's called you to be a servant, son." And he presented me with that white towel and said, "Never lose the heart of a servant." I'll tell you something. God has called every one of us to serve. Not only to serve one another, but to serve Him to the best of our ability. We had hound dogs when I was a boy. We liked to deer hunt. My daddy run dogs after deer. We had always had a bunch of walker foxhounds, you know. tied out to run deer with. And I tell you what we did with the leftovers and the scraps in our house. We put them all in the bucket and took them out to the dogs. Leftovers. Seconds. Things we really didn't want. Things that was just left over. Now, I thought about that when God was dealing with me about service. I don't want to give Him my leftover time. I want to give Him the first fruits. I don't want to give Him just a little drop of money in the bucket every once in a while. I want to be faithful in my tithing and my offering. And I want to sacrifice to please Him. Come on, say amen. I don't want to get caught up in this business of giving to get. I don't give to get. I give because I've already got so much. Come on now. I can never outgive Him. I can never give Him enough to repay Him for what He's already done for me. I want to be faithful in my service, so that when He returns, I won't be ashamed before Him. And then lastly, let's look at her surrender. For the woman in the text, her surrender was real. One of the biggest problems my generation has is coming to a place of surrender. Complete and total surrender. We went to church years ago with a boy that was in the Marine Corps. He had got saved. After he got out of the Marine Corps, he got saved. God sanctified his life. He's seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I watched that man seek the baptism for years before he ever received the Holy Ghost. After he got the Holy Ghost, he said what you've heard so many others say. I didn't realize this how it's going to be. I didn't realize all I had to do was just surrender. You know, I mean, all them nights, folks is slobbering all over him, screaming, yield, yield. It never sunk in, you know. Just surrender. Just surrender. He said all of them years of training and service in the Marine Corps taught him never be out of control. Never make a surrender. Never yield yourself. So it was hard for him. It was a battle for him. I'm going to preach to you. It's a battle for my whole generation to make a real surrender. See, we're American folks. We're proud people. A lot of us are 3 times 7. We're big enough to make our own mind up. We're going to do our thing. We don't care what anybody thinks. But if you're ever going to be successful in the kingdom of God and make it to heaven, you're going to have to surrender everything you are or ever shall be. Must be surrendered to God. Can you say amen? Matter of fact, the first requirement to being a follower of Christ is complete surrender. Complete surrender. I'll never forget years ago, I was teaching my boys how to swim. And they picked right up on, I felt like it's important. You know, we have been to some places here or there and yonder, lakes, rivers, whatever, where we had some privacy. We probably looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. We all swim with their clothes on. Is that all right? That's right. I taught them boys how to swim. I wanted them to know how to get from the boat to the bank. And I was trying to teach them boys how to swim. Sister Teague got a hankering inside of her wanting to learn how to swim. And we had swimming lesson number 1. I took her out into that hole of water where we was and going to teach her how to swim. And how many knows what happens when you fight the water? You go straight to the bottom. Sister Teague, fight the water, struggle, fight the water. And so we backed up and had swimming lesson number 2. We said, we're going to learn how to float first. And then we're going to start trying to swim. Come on now. And I'd have her take deep breath and just lay back in my arms in that hole of water. And I'd just ease my arms out from under, just get her to relax. How many knows the water will bear your weight up if you don't fight against it? You just got to trust it and surrender to it. That's right. It'll hold you. So now she can probably out dog paddle anybody in this building. She's dog paddling all over the place. But the first thing she had to do was learn to trust the water. It ain't something you got to fight against. And if you're going to be what God wants you to be, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to learn to trust Him instead of fighting against Him all the time. Go ahead and make your surrender. Maybe you're here this morning, God been dealing with you about something. I know I'm in that part of the country. I'll just go ahead and tell you something God dealt with me about. Before I got saved, I'd hang out down at Cowboys Nightlife with my pointed-toed cowboy boots. Man, I'm telling you, I liked them cowboy boots. I was real proud of them. When I got saved, one of the first things I had to get shed of. You know what it was, don't you? Now, I don't preach. I ain't going to preach on yours. That'd be foolish. Because God dealt with me about it. Because for me, it was a pride problem. Come on, say amen. But you know what? I'm convinced God is able to speak to me and help me now because He taught me how to listen to Him in them little things in the beginning. I'm still trying to learn. Listen, that ain't puffed up. Don't you misunderstand me. I'm still trying to hear Him. Come on now. But if we're not faithful in a few things, how in the world do we ever expect to become ruler over many things? We've got to obey Him, and to obey Him means complete surrender to His will. I met somebody not too long ago in another state, probably close to one of the greatest preachers I've heard preach the gospel. But I'll just go ahead and say it. You'll probably never hear His name. You'll probably never meet Him. He'll probably never preach a meeting. He'll probably never come through this part of the country preaching the gospel. They just give Him a job making $36 an hour. And instead of launching out, oh, don't you draw up on me right here. You see, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you got to make a surrender. God may not lead everybody in that direction, but I'm telling you, if you're going to please Him, you're going to have to be yielded to His perfect will. You can't even be saved without surrendering to Christ. Matthew 16:24, the Bible said, Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. In Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. In Luke 9:23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Self-denial, complete surrender, sacrifice, service. Boy, I was with a crowd not too long ago. I've never been so embarrassed in all my life. You ever been to that with that crowd to McDonald's when the fries wasn't hot enough? It shows you, I mean, perfect picture of how carnal and selfish and babyfied we really are. You ever been to the restaurant? I have preached for a lot of preachers across this country, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, I won't give you their names and addresses, but I'll tell you right now, there have been more than one or two or three I've left the restaurant with, and I told my wife last time, I will never, ever accompany this crowd to another restaurant. Come on here. I go home, make me a bologna sandwich. If that's the way they're going to talk to folks and treat the waitress, get out of church after sha-la-la-la and around the altar and speaking in tongues and shouting and jerking and almost cuss out the waitress, get red in the face and holler, gripe and complain about everything. We don't know about sacrifice, surrender, service. Come on, smile at me, somebody. I want to love Him. Maybe I shouldn't have took this sharp right-hand turn this morning. I really felt like preaching this to us. I did. And I'll tell you, God spoke it to me last night in the service before I ever got up to preach. Last night, I felt like this is what I was going to preach this morning. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. How about you? Are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can? You don't have to be satisfied pastoring a church with 10 people, never any visitors. When's the last time you knocked on the doors in your community? When's the last time you just passed out some gospel literature? When's the last time you just went out, walked across the yard and shook your neighbor's hand, invited them to the house of God? doing what you can. You don't have to get satisfied with a dried up church with no power, no victory, no glory. Years ago, I left the service in our home church. There for a while, man, it was burning. We was walking the backs of the pews and shouting and jerking, talking in tongues, the power of the Holy Ghost coming down. All of a sudden, it dried up. You know, churches go through spells and seasons just like individuals do, I think. And it was one of them dry times, one of them down times. Something I learned, you got to be faithful in the famine. Come on, say amen. You got to be faithful. If you shout, if you're reaching up for Him in a dust storm, you got to keep reaching. Keep being faithful to Him. But I learned this. I left one of the services that was just so dead and so dry. And on my way home, I was praying, talking to God, something like this. God, what's the matter with that bunch? Nobody shouted this morning. Nobody hollered hallelujah. Nobody worshiped you and got in. What's wrong with them? And the Lord, He asked me some things. He said, how many times do you shout hallelujah? How many victory laps do you run around in the church? How much do you stand on your feet helping the preacher preach? I went from praying, oh God, what's the matter with that bunch, to praying, oh God, help me. I'm going to do better from now on. Come on, say amen. I'm preaching doing what you can. Doing what you can. How many revivals have I felt like I was stuck in? Until one little sanctified sister somewhere way back in the back that nobody hardly ever even notices began to lift up her hand and worship and praise the Lord. And before you know it, the presence and the power of the good Holy Ghost of God came down in that sanctuary. Come on here. Because one person made up their mind, I'm going to worship anyway. I'm going to praise doing what you can. How about you? Are you the one that's doing what you can? I remember studying the life of Barnabas in the New Testament in the book of Acts. I remember Barnabas was the man who stood somewhere in the shadows. He wasn't a Paul. He wasn't a Matthew or Luke or one of the other greats or Peter. He was Barnabas. But I'll tell you something about Barnabas. There's no book of Barnabas in our Bible. But if it had not been for Barnabas, do you realize there wouldn't be an Apostle Paul? When Paul, after being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel, he came to Jerusalem, but Peter and James and John and the rest of that crowd would not receive him. They refused to fellowship him. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, is what the Bible said. He vouched for him. He said, all right, brethren, I'm willing to take a chance on him. You know, Barnabas, his mom and daddy didn't give him that name. His name was Joseph. That's the name they gave him. It was his brethren in the church that called him Barnabas. You know what it means? Son of consolation. Son of encouragement. Barnabas was always looking for somebody to lift up and encourage in the Lord. That's right. He was doing what he could. Not only would there not have been an Apostle Paul, there probably wouldn't have been a book of Mark. Because when John Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas in Pamphylia, Paul decided he'll never travel with me again. And years later, when Paul contacted Barnabas to go on another missionary journey, Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. Paul said, absolutely not. One thing led to another, and the contention between them became so sharp that they parted company. Paul took Silas and turned the world upside down, but Barnabas took John Mark under its arm. He said, I'm going to help you, son. I'm going to stick with you. I believe you got it in you. You're going to do something great for God. I'm for you, boy. I'm for you. You're going to accomplish great things for the kingdom. You know what? Because of Barnabas' encouragement, we have a book of Mark in the New Testament. Come on, say amen. He did what he could. How about you? Are you doing what you can? Are you doing just enough to get by? I want to do what I can, don't you? Stand with me, would you, all over this place. Would you lift your hands toward heaven? Let's bless Him. Hallelujah. 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 Help us to sacrifice, Lord. Help us to serve. Help us to surrender. In Jesus' name.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody worship Him. Somebody bless His name right here. Come on, somebody give Him praise right out of your heart. Because you want to. Hallelujah. 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 Doing what you can. Doing what you can. Doing what you can. Hallelujah. 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 Wouldn't it be good if somebody would get their priorities in the right order here this morning? Wouldn't it be good if God was dealing with somebody's heart in this service to rearrange some things in their life? Put Him first. Wouldn't it be wonderful for somebody in this building that God's been dealing with about making a sacrifice, about finding their place of service, making a surrender? Wouldn't it be good if they'd just come to this altar and offer themselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? They told me the story years ago when I first started going to Africa about a village missionary was working in. He wanted to get it, the importance across to the people of giving. Giving. He wanted them to understand it's more blessed to give than to receive. He didn't want to build a welfare system. He wanted them to become self-supporting. Give to the work of God. God loves the cheerful giver. And He wanted to ingrain that in their heart. So at Christmas time, He was going to have a special Christmas offering. Celebrate the birth of Christ. Bring Jesus your gift like the wise men did. That was His thought. That was His theme. And the service came and people lined up to come into that church. And they were bringing up all that they had. Bunches of bananas, plantain, chickens, goats, whatever they could. Very few had coins or money. So they was just doing what they could. The story said there was an orphan boy in that particular village. It didn't have anything. He just lived from house to house, begging, trying to survive. Oh, he had heard that preacher talk about giving. He wanted something to give to Jesus, something to sacrifice, worship Him with, but he didn't have anything at all. He left that service weeping, crying. He made it out to the outskirts of the village, and Brother Yeomans has been to the mission field. Some of you other ones, you know that on the outskirts of the village, usually where the trash pile is, they take everything that's no good, and believe me, they squeeze a goodie out of everything. Everything that's no good to them, they'll throw it in that trash pile. On the way by that trash pile, that little orphan boy found an old basket, the bottom busted out of it. Somebody thought was useless, and they throwed it away. It entered into his heart. He picked that basket up. He went back and he got in line and he filed up the aisle of that little church. When he got to the altar, he put that basket down and he stepped over in it and he lifted his hands to Jesus. He said, "This is all I have to give, but I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you everything." You know what? That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants from us. He wants more than our billfold or our bank account. He wants more than access to our CDs or our retirement fund. Tell you what He's wanting. He's wanting our heart. He's wanting our hands. He's wanting our head, our eyes, our ears, our feet. He's wanting everything we are. I want to be what He wants me to be. Is there somebody here He's dealing with? Somebody here He's pulling on, you feel like you need to pray? I'm going to ask you to be the first group to come to this altar. God about something. God pulling on you about something. You'd like to pray about it here this morning? Come on. If you feel like you need the Lord, give you divine direction. Maybe you've been hearing Him whisper in your heart. But you'd like to settle this. Lord, I've got to know this is You. I want to know this is Your voice. I'm hearing. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Is anybody here who wants to be a better servant? Anybody here would like to sacrifice more? There's somebody here that would like to make a surrender? Area in your life he's been dealing with. Come make your surrender this morning. Come on, let's gather in here, all that will. Find us a praying place. Let's talk to the Lord about this.